Welcome to Intersection Live, the tax and accounting profession's premier podcast source, provided by the CPA Technology Advisor at the intersection of technology and public accounting. The Intersection Live podcast series is brought to you by ADP Small Business Services, supporting the accountant community. Small Business Consulting To Go is sponsored by AR Connection, automated collection tools, driving timely payments.
This is Small Business Consulting To Go, episode 10, Manufacturing.
From time to time in the recording of our podcasts, we incur certain technology-based problems that impacts the quality of our recording. Unfortunately, this is one of those times. You will notice in listening to this podcast a series of pops and clicks. We've cleaned it as well as we could. It does not meet our standards, but we thought we were better to present you with the content and with an apology for the technology failures. Thank you. Hello, Greg LaFollette for Intersection Live. Today we're recording Small Business Consulting To Go, and I have our regular host. I was going to call you a guest, Doug, but you're really the host. You're the guy that does all the heavy lifting, all of the stuff that that takes any brain power. As many of you know, my secret of success is surround myself with people who really are smart. So I have with me our regular presenter for Small Business Consulting To Go, the Doug Slater, president of the Slater Group, and pretty much generally accepted as the go-to guy for small business consulting for all of those accountants out there who are serving QuickBooks clients. And I think there's quite a few of those accountants out there, being as there's, depending on who you believe, 3.5 million QuickBooks users. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. I had myself on mute. I was trying to say hello for a sec there, but I'm here.
too many mute buttons. Well, thanks for having time for us today. I know it's I was going to say it's a busy time, but you know, Doug, it's always a busy time, isn't it?
Yes, I keep wondering which the accounting profession is supposed to have the slow time in the summer and the high time in the winter months, and it seems like we're so busy in the summers, kind of preparing for the next winter.
Right, and well, for us, for those of us who kind of serve the practitioners, and mm-hmm. I live in an accounting firm, and I do practice a little bit, but for those of us who live in that kind of a world, we're really busiest when accountants are not busiest, because no one wants to talk about systems design or workflow or things like that in March.
No, yeah,
they're all too busy. So during really busy season is the kind of the time that you're slowed down a little bit in just kind of doing let's catch up and catch our breath and figure out how to do things better next year, right?
That's exactly right.
Well. That's I'm glad that that during your busy season, high summer and maybe the slowest of the busy seasons for practitioners, I'm glad you've got time to spend an hour with us today. We've got an interesting guest today and some fun things to talk about. Before we go too far, I want to remind everyone this is episode 10 of Small Business Consulting To Go. And we are recording today live on TalkShoe. We have several guests with us today, and visitors with us today, and a guest. And if we get a chance, we might invite in a couple of those visitors with questions and things. That's always fun. We will record episode 11 on Wednesday, August 13th at 2:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So 2:30 Eastern on Wednesday, August 13th is our next recording, and We're always interested in having you join, and it's kind of fun to have people that look up here and see some people joined in and listening to it live. Don't you think, Doug?
Yeah, it sure is. And you know, it's good to have those of you who are with us today, because you know we feed on your interaction with us. So just type something into the chat window, like we just saw Don do. We'll get to that in a minute, but also, you know, come online with us. Greg will unmute you, and we can actually have a little bit of a conversation. We love that.
Right. Well, and Doug, I do have good news to share with you today. We can stay on the air for a while. No, I'm just teasing. But we do have a new sponsor that I want to welcome to Small Business Consulting to Go. The guys over at AR Connection, and I think you're familiar with them. The guys over at AR Connection have stepped up to sponsor Small Business Consulting to Go, and you know, these are interesting guys. I've watched them. I first met them about a year ago, and I blogged about them. My comment was when I blogged about them that the only thing that accountants hate more than trying to collect a bill is not being paid. And this AR Connection kind of marries technology and QuickBooks and accountants, or any small business person for that matter, but a small business person's desire to get paid and his aversion to being a bill collector kind of marries all those together. And these guys have designed a system that I think is pretty unique, that uses telephone and email and fax or snail mail and the combination of all of that stuff, and kind of handles that for you automatically, but still always within your control. And it's pretty interesting stuff. So if you have accounts receivable, and most small businesses do, although a lot of us avoid them by using credit cards, you know, exclusively. But if you do have receivables, you know, I would encourage you to pop over and take a look at AR Connection, and that's website is just that, arconnection.com, and go over and take a look at them. And for goodness sakes, if you do happen to talk to them, tell them you heard about them here. And if you happen to buy something, be sure to tell them that, because we want them to be around for a while, to be good sponsors, and we're grateful to them and glad to have them here. So I thought you'd be interested in knowing that, Doug.
Yeah, that I've looked at that product too, and it's really interesting. Just go to arconnection.com. And you can kind of see on their site kind of what they do for you. But it integrates with QuickBooks. So once you get the invoices into your QuickBooks system, they have various ways of essentially, just think of it as putting your invoices and the collection of them on autopilot.
Well, these guys were at your conference last year, too.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Great guys. You know, go over and look at it.
and I think they're planning to be there again in Phoenix. When and where for your conference this year, Doug?
Oh yeah, this year it's November 10 through 13, and it's in Phoenix. It's actually Glendale, Arizona, which is just outside Phoenix.
Sure.
Yeah, just go to our website, sleater.com, to learn more about the conference and all the people that'll be there.
Right, and that conference has sold out the last several years, and the brochure just kind of mailed out. So, if you want to be among the smart ones that get in before it's closed, my suggestion is to get that done here real quick.
Yes, we definitely registration is open now. Yeah, people want to get there. You know, make your flight arrangements early. All those things. The earlier you get on this, the better.
Right. Make your flight arrangements while the airline tickets are still cheap.
That's right.
Or or not as expensive as they're going to get, because every time I go to buy an airline ticket, I just started getting used to $500 and $600 flights, and now they're all $700 and $800 flights.
Yeah.
But occasionally they're some decent prices, and certainly. That's what it's going to cost.
Yeah.
So anyway, welcome to AR Connection, Doug. We've got some interesting things to talk about today, and what we're talking about today is manufacturing inventory, and it's a little bit different than regular inventory, right?
Well, yeah, and not just so much the inventory piece, but yeah, I mean the whole process of manufacturing and what does a small manufacturing firm do, and what are their tracking needs, and what are their how is it different from maybe the rest of the financial tracking needs that pretty much every business needs? So since every business, well, not every, but almost all needs to track like accounts receivable and payables, what's unique about manufacturing, and what are the tools out there that you can bring to bear to begin to track these things? And then as a consultant, which most of our audience is full of consultants, as a consultant, what do you do when you go out and implement these systems that help the small manufacturer? What kind of skills do you need yourself in terms of like understanding of their needs and understanding of the nuance that exists? And it's funny how quickly it gets, I think, somewhat complex.
Well, let me ask you before we go on. You've got a mm-hmm. one of your awesome add-on winners is here. Tell everybody what the awesome add-ons are, Doug, real quick.
Well, yeah, every year what we do is we kind of review a lot of add-on products. And when I say add-on, I'm just talking about, because most of our world surrounds the QuickBooks product, but our world also sort of includes Peachtree and the Office accounting product and all. But primarily most of the world is still using QuickBooks. And an add-on is product that connects to QuickBooks, meaning it uses QuickBooks for the writing the checks and the general ledger and all those sorts of things. But an add-on is something that takes, well, in today's case, the manufacturing process and develops software and process around the manufacturing piece. So an add-on is something that connects to QuickBooks. And every year what we do is we look out at several, tens of, not hundreds yet, but tens and tens of add-ons that are out there in the marketplace who are solving various problems in various industries. And we give awards basically recognizing those that we think really stand out as, I just call it awesome because I can't say best in every case because it always depends on the client. I just have to say these guys, what they've done is really worthy of your checking it out and seeing if it's the right thing for your clients.
What we've decided to do as we're planning a small business consulting to go, one of the things we looked at was saying, well, maybe what we should do is talk about each one of these for one month of the year. So you can only do 12 now this year, Doug.
Yeah, that's right.
Or we may have to record more often or do something different, but there are so many really, really good and interesting products.
Yeah, just in the last, I'd say, 4 months, we've seen like 6 new products come into view that are really, I think, going to really advance the state of the art in their industries or in their sections here.
The interesting thing to me is, Doug, when you say industry or section, it would be nice if you could put these things in genres
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, now over here we have a group that do this.
Yeah.
And in some cases you can.
Yeah.
But, for example, our sponsor, AR Connection, there's nobody doing what they do.
Not
exactly what they do.
Yeah, not in the way they do it. That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So,
and the other thing is they cut across all industries. you know, pretty much everybody needs to manage their AR, collect on their AR.
So then you get over to today. We're going to talk about this manufacturing process, inventory kind of inventory thing. But for me, just trying to figure out what is a manufacturer as opposed to a reseller. So if I've got a red widget and a blue widget, and I take the red widget and the blue widget and put them together and put a ribbon around them, and now I have a package of widgets. We usually call that kitting, or maybe it's sub-assembly, From there you'd get into almost a job shop, and then so you have assembly, and then job shop, and then manufacturing. How do you tell when you need to go to, you know, where's the pain point?
Yeah, I think you're starting to touch on some of the key terms that people begin to talk about when they start to get the need for some software. And the way I think of it is, let's just think of inventory for a minute. Inventory in a manufacturing company is purchased in raw form, and then it is transformed into a finished good through a process of taking, like you say, a couple, a red widget, a blue widget, taking the raw one, two, three at a time, combining it with some labor, combining it with some overhead. And when I mean that, I'm talking about cost. I'm thinking always about cost.
Right.
The cost of the widget, the red widget, different cost than the blue widget, and then I got to add the labor cost, and then I got to add the overhead costs and all those things, and I gotta always track those costs. And then, you know, very quickly it becomes, you know, if I have only 10 things I manufacture, but those 10 things are made up of, you know, 5 things each, I've already got a problem that gets to be a little more than I can handle with a spreadsheet or with a simple tracking a bill in the accounting system and having the bills, you know, adding up the bills to figure out what my costs are. And, of course, at the end of the day, what this is really about is managing your business, making sure that you price your products so that you are profitable. And the seat of the pants pricing where, you know, my widgets, if I add them all together, they cost $10, so I'm gonna sell the thing at $20, and I'm sure I'll make a profit. Well, maybe not. You know, it's usually a lot more complicated than that. So anyway, our guest today is really going to help us kind of break that apart.
Okay. Well, why don't you set him up, and I'll go see if I can find him over here and make sure we get him ready
to go. Okay, great. Yeah, so our guest today is Dave Brown. He's a principal at a company called Misys, M-I-S-Y-S. And if you go to misysinc.com, that's misysinc.com, and you don't have to write that down. We're going to have show notes that everybody can come back to. Greg will tell you where to go to get the show notes. But misysinc.com is where you can learn more about their product. But we've asked Dave to come in today to kind of tell us about, again, maybe repeat or correct what I just said, and tell us a little bit about how your product approaches these problems and solves it for the small business.
I think we have him here. David Brown, welcome to Small Business Consulting to Go.
Well, thank you, Greg, and thank you, Doug. Nice to be talking to you guys from our mountain in Woodstock, Vermont, where the sun is finally shining after a week of torrential rains. But we are on a mountain, so we're not too worried. At any rate, yes, it is an interesting topic. I think something that not every accountant or consultant thinks about, but we've been doing it for over 20 years here. And my background, frankly, was in the design and manufacture of super mini computers back in the olden days when you actually used soldering irons to do things. Those days have gone by, but I suspect a lot of the issues are the same. You know, you asked about inventory, and there are lots of programs out there that help you maintain an inventory, and certainly QuickBooks, one of Doug's favorites, has an inventory control module. Now, its inventory control module is pretty much limited to things that you sell as opposed to manufacturing, but we'll just leave that aside. Lots of manufacturing software that you might find in the marketplace deals with maintaining an inventory. And I like to think about it this way. The reason that you have an inventory at all is because you cannot cannot manage effectively the inputs to it and the outputs from it. You can't do that kind of planning. The better you can manage the inputs to and the outputs from an inventory, the less you actually need an inventory. Now, we like to say that other products in the marketplace help you maintain an inventory. Our product specifically helps you maintain no inventory. Kind of sounds kind of strange, but it's really true. Now, of course, it's not possible. Pardon?
You're going to have to keep explaining that, David.
Helping you maintain no inventory? I thought I might get your attention with that.
Seems like the opposite of the goal.
Well, the point is that you can never really get to the point where you have no inventory. It's a nice goal, but you can't ever quite get there.
It's what happens to you immediately before you go broke, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Well, no, actually, if you could control, what you needed and what you got for supply perfectly, then there's no reason for inventory. And that's this whole thing you hear about lean manufacturing.
Right,
lean is kind of faded recently in terms of the local jargon and things that people get excited about. But anyway, it still has some benefits. But let's talk about the idea of at least reducing your inventory. If you can't get it down to zero, what can you get it down to?
Sure.
Well, having done this for 20-some-odd years, I can tell you that we have about 7,000 or 8,000 users who tell us that reducing their inventory holding cost by 20 or 30 or 35% is fairly easy to do if you have some sort of planning tools. And that's what we provide. So, the idea is if you're sitting on $1 million worth of inventory and your consultant can show you a reasonable shot at reducing that 20 or 30%, it's something that really should get your attention.
That's a quarter of $1 million permanent.
Yeah, that's right. And you get to do it over and over and over again.
Right, you get to keep the money.
That's
or
right.
Use it for other
purposes
things. Like growing your business.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think, Dave, I'm understanding what you're saying. A couple of years ago, I was down in Texas, and I was fortunate enough to get a tour of one of the Dell manufacturing facilities. And as we were there in the morning, we watched the trucks in the back pulling in to deliver, and they pull in and deliver exactly what Dell says they're allowed to deliver that day. So
right.
someone has a truckload of disk drives sitting in the parking lot out behind the Dell building. And when Dell says, today I will take delivery of 3,000 of those, bring them over, they own that that inventory at 8 o'clock in the morning when it's delivered, and by 3 o'clock in the afternoon it's all shipped out. And they don't own any inventory because
that's
their
right.
system is that good. So that's really what you're talking about, isn't it?
That's what I'm talking about. Now you may not be able to do as well as Dell, but if you can do half as well as Dell,
exactly.
you're in good shape.
Right.
Now you figure there are two possibilities. One is in the back room of Dell, they've either got a crystal ball or some good manufacturing software. I'm kind of betting that it's the good manufacturing software. What do you think?
Well, my guess is that it is. They also they have another thing going for them too. They have enough volume and enough horsepower to simply say to their supplier, we want you to have on a moment's demand, you deliver this today. We'll order it at 7 o'clock and you deliver it at 8 o'clock. For many small businesses, when you try that with your supplier laughs at you.
Yeah.
So you can't go quite that far, but you can work on it.
Well, that may be, but I think even if you're a small guy, like most of the people that I talk to, that Doug talks to, you can, you know, if you don't bludgeon your suppliers, you can at least work with them, and they can cooperate with you. And what that's really all about is planning. If I'm planning to make, Doug and I were playing with this yesterday, if I were planning to make 5,000 lamps, let's say December 1st, if I were to get in touch with my suppliers of all the components that I need and say, look, I got this project going on, and this is what I'm going to need. I know it's now July 22nd, but I'm just giving you a heads up. And this is what I'm going to need, and this is how many I'm going to need, and this is when I'm going to need them. I think you have a very good chance of getting that material at an effective price on time from your suppliers. And that's the kind of thing that our software does.
Okay. So you said you've got 6,000-7,000 users out there, David?
Yeah, of course, we've been at it for 20 years, so right. We did get a head start in a lot of people.
Sure, sure.
Mm.
Dave, you actually had your product being sold into the more mid-range market, and with the relatively new introduction of QuickBooks, you decided to bring your product to integrate with QuickBooks and pull on the small business manufacturer too, right?
Yeah, I remember sitting in Doug's office for the first time, and he asked me a question: what market do you go after? And I had to think for a moment because I've spent a lot of time in mid-market, and I realize that we kind of focus on the Fortune 5 million, and we laugh, you know, but there are QuickBooks tells us that there are 26 million users in North America, prospects
small
for QuickBooks, and you know, small businesses,
right.
And we figure
3 million of them using QuickBooks. Right?
Yeah, a lot of them, but you know, a lot of them have selected out of using QuickBooks because up till now, there wasn't a good solution if you're a manufacturer. So a lot of people went elsewhere, and I think perhaps that's one of the reasons why the folks from Intuit have been so happy to talk to us. But at any rate, that aside, but we know that about 20% of the small businesses in the U.S. Are involved in some way in manufacturing. I know it feels like everything comes from China these days, but it really doesn't, because we're talking to people all day who are small manufacturing firms. They have the problems that you and I are talking about today. They're looking for a cost-effective solution, and they haven't given up. So that's an opportunity that we see out there. 20% of those 26 million, you know, that's our Fortune 5 million.
That's a lot of people out there.
It keeps us out of trouble.
So a couple of years ago when the Intuit people, as you said, were happy to talk to you, they're actually happy to talk to a lot of people. They opened that API, and now you are. They have all sorts of different levels of developers. And tell me about your relationship with the Intuit people.
Well, we have a good relationship with them. I can't remember what all the names of the levels are because they tend to change from month to month. But we're at the highest level. And we got there because we integrate with their products seamlessly. That is, you do something in QuickBooks, and our product, by the way, which is called Mises Small Business Manufacturing, otherwise known as Mises SBM, knows about it. So, for example, the sales order that you enter that's due to ship on, what did I say, December 1st, Mises knows about and therefore figures out, well, gee whiz, if I've got to ship it on that date and it takes me this many dates to put together and it takes me this many days to get this part and so many days to get that part, it backs up all the way and says, in the middle of August, you ought to be buying this, this, and this. That's kind of how it happens. And then when you actually do produce it, that material gets sent over to QuickBooks automatically. So there's no importing, exporting. And QuickBooks Intuit likes that sort of thing, and QuickBooks users like that sort of thing because we don't mess with QuickBooks. So it's a wonderful product. We don't replace anything that does. We don't change anything that it does. We just add on that functionality that's so critical to small to medium-sized manufacturing firms.
And let me just add a little bit there, Dave. From the QuickBooks consultant's perspective, the thing that Mises does is it essentially leaves QuickBooks alone, kind of like what Dave was saying there, but the QuickBooks consultant cares about the item list and the reports and the transactions in QuickBooks. And the reason we care about that is because we care that when we do a report, whether it's the financial reports, the balance sheet and the P&L, or the management reports, which is sales by item or whatever by item, those things need to work for us like they always have. And Mises leaves those things intact and feeds data to those fields, if you will, inside the QuickBooks software so that you don't have to sacrifice, if you will, the reporting that you get in QuickBooks, but you get the features that Mises brings to track all of the transactions.
That's right. We don't affect the functionality in QuickBooks at all. And, you know, for good or bad, there are people who call us up and say, well, can't you do something better than what QuickBooks does? The answer is no, we don't do anything that QuickBooks does. We do something different. But I think it works out very well, particularly for the consultants, because there's no sort of relearning of what QuickBooks does. It's just this hunk that gets added on. And that's enough to learn all by itself. I won't underestimate that task. But I think a lot of it makes sense to people. As Greg was pointing out in the beginning, you know, it's not too hard to figure out what a manufacturer does. He takes at least a couple of component parts, widgets, munges them together and makes something else. So that's my basic definition of a manufacturer. Obviously, there are various flavors of manufacturers, but, you know, they all do the same kind of thing. And so, you know, we address those. Frankly, most manufacturing systems address those different flavors of manufacturing. But it all comes down to taking some raw materials and making something else out of them.
Yeah.
So
and Dave,
talk to me about the process, for example, of let's talk about work in process and roll ups and sub assemblies. Those are all kind of special words that mean something pretty darn specific in the world that we're talking about. For the consultants out there who haven't been dealing with manufacturers yet, because a lot of manufacturers think in order to have this kind of horsepower, they have to be running, a Mass 200 or something, or a Great Plains or, you know, Dynamics GP or something, and they really don't have to be. Am I saying that correctly?
Well, sure. When I started this business and we were going to Apex manufacturing shows, there was always the guy in the next booth who had the $2 million software that was running on an AS400. Well, sort of ran on there because most of the time it didn't work. But anyway, that's an aside. You know, today we're talking about, you know, a couple of $1,000 installed on the computer that you can buy, you know, at your friends at Dell for less than $1,000. So we're down, I think, into the commodity range. But you mentioned, you know, work in process and roll-ups and all those things. Better be careful, because I can go off for a day each on each of those subjects and do in our training classes. But let me just, for the sake of people who are not familiar with that terminology, work in process. You know, that deals with the fact that lots of times what I'm making takes days, weeks, months. I don't just go bang and it's done. So I'd like to know how we're doing on that, you know. Have we started working on that? Are we half done working on that? Are we waiting for some parts that haven't come in yet? You know, if we don't have the wheels, can we still work on the baby buggies? Yeah, probably true. So software would track that process as you're going through and perhaps suggest when it'll actually be done, when the wheels will be arriving and you'll actually be able to deliver it, even though everything else is together. What else did you mention? You mentioned cost roll-ups. Okay.
Right.
That's a very critical thing that absolutely does not exist in the inventory systems that most of the listeners are familiar with. But in a manufacturing environment, if you take a simple bolt and you say this bolt costs you 10 cents, well, perhaps the next time you buy that bolt or you revalue the bolts, it goes up to 20 cents. Well, that's great. But the thing that you have to factor in is that everything that uses that bolt has to be revalued. And then everything that uses the thing that uses that bolt has to be revalued. And then everything that uses the thing that uses the thing that uses the thing that uses the bolt has to be revalued. And pretty soon you have to revalue your entire inventory just because a single bolt went from 10 cents to 20 cents. And that is not a job that you want to do with a calculator or even a spreadsheet. Big job.
So how often do, Doug, do consultants come to you with their first manufacturer in hand? Because that's usually when most consultants learn about an industry is when their first client comes along. They come to you and say, okay, I have a manufacturing client now. What do I need to know? What are the hot spots? That's kind of what the Sleater Group is famous for. What do you say to them?
Mostly I'm panic stricken, right?
Right. that's a great question, Greg, because for years that question would come up, I would say, at least every month from various people in our network, or even the people not in officially in our network, but the people who come to our classes or whatever. Well, I've got a manufacturer, and they got raw, and I'm trying to figure out how to track the work in process, and QuickBooks items only know about what inventory account the item is stored in, and how do I get it out of the raw material inventory and into the work in process inventory, and then how do I get it from work in process inventory into finished goods inventory so that my balance sheet always reflects the truth of where I sit every day. You know, that's a pretty hard thing to do with QuickBooks alone. Now, we did develop some tricks, I guess, for actually doing, you know, inventory adjustments to pull items out of raw and into another account called work in process or goods in process or whatever we wanted to call it. So we did some workarounds, but you know what I would always say is I say, look, here's a workaround that I'll show you how you can do it. And when I say you, I mean the expert, because it's technically complex to number one, do the transactions, but also number two, maybe more importantly, to understand the accounting behind the scenes so that at the end of the day, when you do all of my tricks, you get, what do you get out of it? You just get a balance sheet. But my tricks would never help them manage the business, which is really what the client was asking them to help with. So essentially I said, okay, here's the tricks, but don't use them because it's not worth using because it's too much work. And even once you get there, you don't have much more than you started with. So if you're a manufacturer, don't use QuickBooks. That sort of was my tune until maybe 3 years ago, where some of these add-ons came in where, you know, like Dave's product that really understands what goes on and understands multiple levels of bills of material and things like that. And really, I say without an add-on, I would not attempt to use QuickBooks at all, even with the new features of today with the inventory assembly items and all those things that they have for QuickBooks now. They're just not sufficient for even a relatively simple manufacturing operation.
So then the next question becomes, because I know how consultants think, they want to take the path of least resistance, and that's not any, I mean, that's what I want to do too. So, you know, we have Mises, and great product, and it's certainly, you can certainly tell visiting with Dave Brown that he's done this before, and he knows these things. So he and his staff have got a product that's tested and it's out there, but most people want to know about what else is out there. Mises is not the only product in the world. Are they the only ones that do it in this fashion, or are they best of class? And Dave, just to say, this is a question for Doug, not for you.
Mm-hmm.
what do you think?
Well, yeah, there are several people in this, I'll call it general category, that have been adding their product to QuickBooks. What what differentiates MISIS is, I guess, the level of integration with QuickBooks, the amount of data they transfer back and forth, the choices they've made in preserving what QuickBooks is instead of completely taking away and just simply feeding debits and credits with journal entries to the accounting system. When a developer like MISIS considers integrating with QuickBooks, they have one huge choice up here, and that is, should I maintain all of the detail in QuickBooks, or should I maintain none of the detail, or probably somewhere in between always, but you know, how far do you want to go with detail in QuickBooks versus keeping all the detail in our software? Now, MISIS has done a whole bunch of detail in their software, let's say multiple levels of bills of materials and those kinds of things, where only their software knows those, you know, let's say costs at the sub-assembly level and all. But they haven't completely removed all that detail from QuickBooks. So they made a choice to keep QuickBooks as, let me just call it the boss, and they act as a partner to that boss with taking off where QuickBooks leaves off. Now, other companies in the space are really more just management systems. I shouldn't say the word just because I don't mean it to be less than good. I just mean that they have decided we're going to do it all, and we're going to be what the user uses every day, all day long. And then at the end of the day, we're going to send a couple journal entries over to QuickBooks so that the P&L and balance sheet work.
Okay, that certainly makes sense. Let me pose this question to Dave then. We've been talking for the last 45 minutes or so about this whole genre of software, and we've kind of used the term QuickBooks in almost a generic fashion. I know the people at Intuit hate that. It's like the Kleenex world. But if I were a listener, but I'm not using QuickBooks, I don't have to use QuickBooks to use MISIS. Is that correct?
No, you have lots of choices. And
okay.
While we certainly have great respect for the QuickBooks universe, it is not the only one. There are other products that are frankly...
David, we can't say that very loudly because the guys in Mountain View don't know that.
That's true. No, actually, we have frank discussions with them, and they realize that our product integrates equally as well with a number of other small to mid-market products, and we leave the names out. But
well,
I suspect
not.
you can make some
out.
Guess. Oh, really?
No.
Okay. Well, you know, it integrates with a product from Microsoft called used to be called Small Business Accounting, now Office Accounting.
Okay.
It integrates with a number of Sage products, certainly well regarded in the market.
That would be Peachtree and
Mass. Yeah, Peachtree and Simply Accounting for the Canadians and
sure.
and even now Sage ACPAC ERP, which by all measures is an industrial strength accounting system.
Sure.
So when somebody says, "Look, I think we've outgrown whatever we have," you know, we can offer Sage ACPAC ERP, and nobody can say that won't do it.
You kind of started with ACPAC 100 years ago, right?
Yeah, way back in a previous life. I think we started with ACPAC, and we've kind of gone the gamut the other direction. But, you know, there are so many issues that are important to consider before you get down to really kind of choosing an accounting system or even narrowing in. And, frankly, there are lots of manufacturing systems to consider that we sat down one day and wrote down our epistle of everything that we had learned, well, we tried to write down everything we'd learned over the last 20 years in a form that a consultant could sit in and read, perhaps read in bed if they had no life, and learn about some of the terminology and what to look for and whatever. And we do offer that, and I'll offer it to any of your listeners. this guide that we call an accountant's guide to choosing the right manufacturing software. So this would be a commercial plug, except there's no money involved. You can go to our website, misesinc.com/CPA guide. Is that right, Doug?
That's right.
I think I get that right.
Yeah.
And request a free copy of the accountant's guide to choosing the right manufacturing software. And it talks about...
That will be in our show notes, too.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And it talks about all the issues that we've talked about today, but in much greater length. And it is product agnostic. So it's not pushing a specific product, just
great.
Knowledge.
Well, yeah, let me just say here also that, you know, I looked at this guide. We have it listed on our site, too, and this is not a sales piece. So if you guys just want to learn about this process that Dave's talking about, what's involved, what are the issues, it doesn't talk about, and this product does that, and it's just simply talking about the technical issues that we all face when we need to help a manufacturing client. So it's great document. And you give it away free. I don't know about that, Dave.
Yeah, we're just nice guys, that's all.
Well, and that's true. You are nice guys. I very much appreciate your spending time with us today. Dave, I do want to throw in a plug for your blog. I'm always impressed with developers who spend the time and the effort to maintain a blog, and you guys actually do have a blog, Misus Manufacturing. It's misusmfg.blogspot.com, and it's fairly rich and fairly full, and I certainly learned some things in reviewing it. And my tip of the hat to you guys for blogging and sharing with the rest of the world kind of some of the things that are going on and some of the things that you're thinking about. That's very helpful.
Well, thanks, Greg. If credit is to be delivered to those where it's due, I'd offer a lot to Doug, who has really shown us how to communicate with a large group of people effectively. He does a wonderful job, and he's been an inspiration to us. So, you know, we're kind of up here on our mountain. We have 3,000 people in town, but we've learned how to appeal to a much, much larger group. So fortunately, technology helps us to do that, and we're going to be doing more and more of that as days go by.
Good for you. David Brown, thank you so very much for spending time with us, and Doug for arranging David to come in. As we noted earlier, we will be recording episode number 11 on, let's see, what's our date, Doug? I lost the date. August 13th, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We've got that arranged. And finally, another tip of the hat to our friends and new sponsors at AR Connections, arconnections.com. You'll be hearing more about them in the future. Doug, one more quick plug on the conference coming up.
Yeah, remember to come to the Sleater Group's annual Accounting Software Consulting Conference, where you'll see sponsors just like Misus, but there will be about 60 companies exhibiting their products, and you'll get to talk to the principals of those companies, like Dave, so you can get, you know, up close and personal and ask them the hard questions and look at their product, get full demos, plus get, you know, in-depth sessions where you'll learn about the latest technology trends and things. Greg, you're going to bless us with a couple of presentations that you're going to do for us, and I really appreciate that.
Well, that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. The date of it is November 10 through 13, 2008, and it is in Phoenix. So go to our website, Sleater.com, to learn more about that.
Well, we have effectively used up our time. I appreciate your time, Doug, and David Brown, thanks so very much for joining us.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it.
Thank
you. Okay, everybody, have a great day. This concludes Episode 10 of Small Business Consulting to Go.
For more information about the CPA Technology Advisor's other podcast programs, webcasts, and our e-newsletter, visit www.cpatechnology.com. www.cpatechadvisor.com. To ask questions or leave comments about our podcast, call 800-456-0864, extension 2106, or tune into future episodes where you're able to ask questions live via TalkShoe.com.